This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Arm's Length Reporting. For investors who want the whole story, this is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome to KER Politics. Big Al's talking with one of the most interesting gentlemen who I have ever talked to. His name is Dr. John Shufret. And John is a graduate of the Medical School, University of Chicago. He's got an MBA. He's got an LLB, I should say, from Arizona State, if I'm not mistaken. And he's also got an MBA. John, let's talk a little bit about your initial credentials, and then I want to get into the kind of meat of the interview.
Yep, you bet. Thank you.
Start with the MBA. Now, let's start. When you started as an undergraduate, where did you start at university? And what field?
So I went to Drake University in Des Moines, Iowa. I was a sociology and criminology major, and then I did all the pre-medical classes as well.
Okay. And then went to med school, I guess, at a branch of the University of Chicago. Why from medical school to law school, John?
So, you know, I've been practicing and I continue to practice emergency medicine, but I also thought, you know, emergency medicine is kind of one of those active contact sports. There's going to be some time in my life when working weekends, holidays, it's going to be a kind of nights, it's going to be a kind of home. And maybe I should do something where I can really, you know, I have a good understanding of how physicians think and some of the challenges they have. Maybe I should go to law school and help them solve some of those challenges, which is what I did. So I went to ASU College of Law called Sam Day O'Connor. I finished in 2.5 years, took the bar. For the grace of God, I don't know how they passed it, and really kind of hung my shingle and practiced law and helped physicians when they had medical board complaints. I helped them for a little bit solve those.
John, I'm curious, the MBA, I'm assuming you probably picked up as a result of some of your undergraduate work. Am I correct there?
No, I kind of go back to school every 10 years, so 10.
Okay.
10 years later. Did an MBA 10 years later and did a law degree.
Okay. Now, initially when I spoke with your publicist, by the way, I hope I'm coming across clearly enough. I've got a terrible, terrible cold. We've got some interesting weather up here in the great Northwest, for lack of better terms. Got about 6 or 7 inches of snow last night, so it's kind of interesting out of doors. But having said that, I hope you can understand me okay. I decided to go ahead and proceed with this interview, even though I'm loaded up big time on Sudafed right now. John, you've got a very interesting life. As you said, you go back to school every 10 years or thereabouts. Now, we have an interesting time in our society right now. People can, if they're enterprising, they can do really almost anything they want to. People are held down, for lack of better terms, with a COVID situation. We've got some very serious lockdowns, for lack of better terms. People have a lot of time on their hands, like right now. I can't think of anybody, John, other than yourself, who could talk to people a little bit more highly qualified. Nobody would be more highly qualified, is what I'm trying to say, other than you, John, in terms of giving some people advice as to how to do the most they can with their lives. I'm going to give you the mic, John. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that's really kind of an interesting perspective, and here's, I guess, my takeaway. You know, in times like this, they're tremendously challenging, but they also yield tremendous opportunities. So I'll give you an example. You know, I had a business called VMD, which was a virtual healthcare business. I had it for 11 years, and it did okay.
Yeah.
We were able to sell to Walmart in June, really because of the COVID crisis. Walmart needed a way to address their members and their associates and compete with Amazon. And so we happen to be in the right place at the right time. So despite the challenges of COVID, it really helped propel, you know, our business and other businesses. The other takeaway I would have is is, you know, COVID's really, I think, allowed people to see the world from a set of lenses, but for COVID, they would not have been able to use. And so for a lot of the folks we work with who are working from home, they said, you know what, I'm going to go back to online school. I'm going to go do some, start a business on the side. I'm going to enter the gig economy because it has this opportunity now to work more from home. They're not wasting time commuting 30 minutes to 2 hours every day. And they decided to use that time productively, whether it's through reflection or reading or school or spending more time with their family. They've made the most out of it, which is amazing because a lot of people chose to kind of dwell on it and ruminate about it and be impacted negatively by it. But there's a certain group who said, you know what, I'm going to make the best out of this and crushed it.
Yep. Well, you have to make the best out of life. Well, you know, as the old Forrest Gump movie, as Forrest said in that movie, you know, when you make life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. And life is also like lemonade. Lemons, if you don't, if you want to make lemonade, you can do that. You can accomplish something. I would have to guess that as a doctor, you have probably saved at least one or two lives. And that right there, I am going to have to say, is a huge, hugely gratifying thing to do. In terms of being an attorney, it sounds to me like the law school allowed you to get ahead in the business world, particularly in the medical field. Am I correct?
Yeah, it literally, every time I go back to school, I equate it to putting on a new set of glasses because it allows me to see things that were staring me right in the face and yet somehow I missed them. Mm-hmm. They did not have the right perspective or the right knowledge. I had gaps in my knowledge base. And so going back to school, I really walk out and go, how have I missed this my whole life?
Yeah.
It was right in front of me. But it was only because of more education, more, I guess, enlightenment, for lack of a better way to say it, that I was able to see something that, but until then, I missed.
John, let me ask you a question. We have a lot of people right now who are psychologically pretty down because of the COVID situation. I talk with a number of PhD psychologists on the show, and in the past I've talked to a number of psychiatrists. Let me ask you this, and then we're going to take a real quick commercial break, and we're going to go on and we're going to talk about the topic du jour, which is what you really have to do to be successful in starting your own business. But John, in your opinion, how do people, when they feel totally down and out because of something as bad as COVID, how do they change their attitude so they can go ahead and strive and get ahead in their own personal lives?
Well, I can tell you how I've done it, how I do it, and I frankly kind of do it every day. For example, I was in the emergency department until midnight last night. There were 53 patients in the emergency department waiting room, and the ED was packed, and it was a war zone.
Yeah.
And oftentimes you can walk out of there and go, like, what the heck, and be incredibly just beaten up about it. But I learned this perspective a while ago, and it's the if no one's dying, how bad can it be perspective, at least as it relates to kind of my own life. So I looked at Viktor Frankl. You know, Viktor Frankl was an Austrian psychiatrist, physician. He was Jewish. He lost his entire family in the concentration camp. And he had this perspective of, you know, if you can't change the circumstances, change yourself. And it dawned on me that much of life is simply about perspective.
Yep.
I know it's cliche-ish. However, you look at Louis Zamperini, he spent 45 days on a boat with no food or water with two other people, one of whom died, and probably willed himself to die, you know, at least out of Louis Zamperini's book.
Yeah.
And I thought, gosh, if he can do that, and Viktor Frankl can survive, and what he lived through, and the countless others have far, far, far worse than I do and survived, what little nuanced trivia do I have in my life that I can't, you know, overcome?
John, I got to interrupt you just for a second. We have to take a real quick commercial break. I happen to have Viktor Frankl's book sitting on my bookshelf, and I'm looking at it right now. Stick around, you guys. I'm going to be right back with Dr. John Schubert.
Thank you you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while, we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
7 million children suffer from asthma, more than any other chronic disease. Most asthma attacks are caused by allergic reactions to allergens, including those left behind by cockroaches and mice. In fact, 82% of U.S. households contain mouse allergens, and cockroaches are found in up to 98% of urban homes. How can you protect your family? Find out at pestworld.org. A message from the National Pest Management Association and the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology.
I need to do my taxes. Are there any self-help options online?
Doing taxes yourself? IRS.gov has many self-service tax tools, and they're all just a click away. Prepare and file your taxes online using FreeFile. Use our calculator to estimate your tax withholding. Order a tax transcript. Apply for an employer identification number. Check your refund status, too. IRS.gov, your 24/7 federal tax resource.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. I got to tell you, Dr. John is one of the most interesting people I've spoken with in a long time. Just remember, it's very important during these difficult times. You can't change anybody else. You're not going to change Joe Biden. You're not going to change Donald Trump. All you can do is change yourself and your own attitude. When John's publicist contacted me early in the week, we were talking initially about the difficulties, not the difficulties, that's totally the wrong word to use, the challenges and what you have to be aware of when you're starting your own business. John, you're on. What do you need to know?
You know, I think the first thing, and maybe the only thing, is the starting your own business, is that you want to fail, which sounds weird, but you want to fail early, often, and fast, because you'll never, right out of the gate, hit a home run. You have to iterate and fix it and experiment as you go. And the challenge I see with a lot of people who start the business is that I call them the fragile perfects. They've done everything right in their life, which was never my life. And so I got very used to failing early and often. And so when I started these businesses and failed repeatedly, and I was like, okay, pick yourself up. You know, it's the old Chinese proverb, fall down seven, get up eight. And that to me just made total sense. But to a lot of folks, that fear of failure, of looking foolish, of doing something wrong, paralyzes them to this analysis paralysis mode. And if you can get past that, then almost assuredly you will have some success in a business, provided you've done your homework and you're, you know, trying to help, figure out the right solution for the right problem.
Yep. Let's talk about interest. Now, you own how many small businesses, John?
Well, I've owned probably about 30 different businesses in my career, and a couple of them have been, you know, well north of $100 million, and a lot of them have been in the less than zero to 25 to 30 million range.
John, let's talk about this. How did you decide to get into, let's talk about maybe half a dozen or so of your businesses and how you got into them.
Sure. For pretty much all of them, they were a response to a problem that I saw and that was unaddressed. So I'll give you the first one.
Okay.
I started a business called Next Care Urgent Care. And back in the time, in the early 90s, when I started it, there weren't any urgent cares around, but working in the emergency department, I thought, well, this is ridiculous. Why would somebody want to see me for something trivial and they're not really that sick? And so I thought, okay, well, let's maybe figure out this thing called urgent care. And so we did that and grew up to really about $100 million in revenue. We were at 60 locations in 6 or 7 states and departed in 2010. So, again, saw a problem, tried to figure out a solution to it. Another one was coming on private autopsy, where I learned someone had died. The questions about the surrounding their death were unanswered. They wouldn't do an autopsy on the person. And so I hired a bunch of pathologists, and we started going around, or they started going around doing private autopsies.
Yeah.
We marketed that business to morticians who told their clientele, or their deceased client, their deceased loved ones, about the service that they had. Another one was called Slide Smart.
That is fascinating. John, if I can just interrupt you for a second. I happen to have had a couple of very close friends in my past life who were pathologists. One guy was a county coroner, et cetera, et cetera. I have to wonder why none of them never thought of something like that. That is brilliant, doctor.
Well, now there's plenty of them out there, but in the early 90s, people just didn't think that way. But yet people said, well, gosh, I want to know why they died. And the coroner would say, well, they don't really meet criteria, so we're not going to do an autopsy on them.
Right.
But we also had a business called Slide Smart, which was pre-Google, where we sold medical images. We had about 6,000 medical images that we sold online. And you could order them to be downloaded, or we'd send you a 35-millimeter slide to put in the slide carousel. So if you're a medical student or college student doing research or a lecture, we have tons of different medical images that we'd sell for, I think, $4.95 a slide.
Right.
And again, pre-Google, but, it worked and we were able to sell that. I mentioned BND, which is a virtual medicine business, started in 2010. We had about 5 million subscribers, and we sold it to Walmart.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you this, John. What compelled you obviously, to become as monetarily successful as you obviously are. Just most people, when they're walking down the street, they feel sorry for themselves. They're wondering, you know, God doesn't like me. What's going on? Why can't I be like the man in the mansion living up on the hill, et cetera, et cetera? How did you break through that attitude? Because that's a very prevalent attitude, Johnny, in our society.
You know, there is a speech that Theodore Roosevelt gave in 1917 at the Sorbonne, and it's one that I'm sure a lot of folks know. It's called The Man in the Arena. And I remember reading that thinking, I would rather be that man in the arena who's covered with dust and blood and sweat and struggles and survived, you know, and even if I failed, at least I failed while daring greatly. And I thought, I'd rather be that person than the person that felt sorry for myself. And I'll give you a quick example.
Yeah.
One time ago when I was a resident, there was a gentleman who came in and he was clearly dying. He was doing 2 hour resuscitation, but he was awake and he knew he was dying. And I remember looking at his face and he had this look on his face. And it was just this infinite sadness, sort of like, it's almost hard to describe, and it kind of chokes me up thinking about it. And I remember thinking, I know what he's thinking. This is the if only look. And I think he was going back to his life and saying, if only I had, and then whatever.
Right.
I thought, I will be damned if I'm going to have that look on my face when I'm lying on my deathbed. You know, there's that old saying, the definition of hell is law on your deathbed. You meet the person you could have become.
Right.
I'm still afraid of that. And so that really propelled me and continues to propel me to not waste this fantastic life that we have without trying to be that person in the arena.
You know, John, I got to tell you, I couldn't agree with you more. You and I, believe it or not, have an awful lot in common. I started my business, which was not a radio show. It was a consulting business. The radio show just happened to come along in the mid-1990s, just out of the blue. I had never planned to do radio. I switched over to doing my radio show in about probably full-time in the late 1990s. You have to, number one, take advantage of opportunities that you see as they come along, and come hell or high water, you have to not let, as they say, the bastards get you down. You have to have a positive attitude. John, I'm going to take a break for the top of the hour news here really quickly. I want to tell you, I want to get you back on the show as soon as we possibly can. You're an interesting man. You can teach people an awful lot about life. Thank you.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
It's a fact. The best time to prepare for bad times is during good times. When you know a big storm is coming, you prepare in advance. Same goes for our future. Things seem calm right now, so it's the perfect time to prepare for the next big crisis or disaster. That's why you should stock up on emergency food from MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's largest preparedness company, with millions of happy, well-prepared customers. Our food kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They're an insurance policy you can eat. When you need it, it'll be there. Shop dozens of food storage kits now at MyPatriotSupply.com. Our kits give you an abundance of food, totaling over 2,000 calories a day. Every family member in America needs one of these kits. So go to MyPatriotSupply.com and grab a few. That's MyPatriotSupply.com. Do it before the peanut butter hits the fan again. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The U.S. Supreme Court's now considering the Biden administration's vaccination mandate on large employers in the face of the pandemic. During oral arguments yesterday, Justice Elena Kagan said mandates are absolutely necessary during a deadly public health crisis. Attorney Scott Keller with the National Federation of Independent Business argued that the government mandate in this case is too broad and that scores of workers would choose to quit. A new report says says on average, the U.S. added over a half a million jobs a month in 2021. The U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics are putting the specific number at 537,000, but the year ended with a figure that came in below expectations, with just 199,000 jobs added in December. There's a memorial service today in Las Vegas for the late U.S. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, who died last week. And this is USA Radio News. The three men who were convicted in a high-profile murder case in Georgia have now learned their fate when it comes to sentencing, as we hear from USA Radio's Tim Berg.
The three men convicted of killing Ahmed Aubrey in Georgia got life in prison. Two of the three, Gregory McMichael and Travis McMichael, got life without parole, and the third, Roddy Bryant, got life with the possibility of parole. Georgia District Attorney Flynn Brody reacting outside the courthouse following the sentencing.
For a young African-American male, this day means quite a bit because it tells me that America can meet its promise, that there is liberty and justice for all here.
Bob Dylan's lawyer is calling a sex abuse lawsuit against the singer a brazen shakedown. It claims that Dylan had an emotional connection with a 12-year-old female over a six-week period in 1965. This is USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best, deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990, this is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in, Tom, for the second half of KER Politics. I'm going to devote the entire half of the program here, which is close to an hour to, or half an hour to, Joshua Melville. Josh is a very interesting guy. He was on the show a couple of weeks ago. He has written a fascinating book. The reason I find his book to be as fascinating as it is because there is so much anger and angst going on in our society today. I don't understand why people are in that direction. I don't understand why people are looting, bombing, etc., as it was the case in Seattle, Washington. The only result of the anarchists in Seattle, and maybe this is what they wanted, the only result is that the mayor, Jenny Durkan, decided not to run again for re-election, number one, because she said we could not enforce the law, and the police chief in Seattle resigned because, as she said, I didn't have the tools to do my job. I could not enforce the law. Josh, your father was a very gentle man, but he was very, very driven in terms of making changes to American society. What I want to ask you, just in general terms, first of all, because I think that the answer to this question is relevant in terms of a lot of the people who we have in the United States today demonstrating, etc. Your father was a very gentle man, John. He composed music, etc. What turned this gentle man into a bomber?
I spent almost 80,000 words trying to answer that question in my book. I'll try to boil it down. And the question you asked me to answer it broadly. What applies to my father is probably not the same thing that's applying to the people who are looting stores in the last year in American cities. Might not be exactly the same.
But you think, Josh, if I can just interrupt you for a second, but don't you think it's kind of the same mindset, perhaps?
Well, we'll see.
You answer the question, John. That's fine. You're fine, Josh. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. So my father's case, he came from a lineage of hardcore Marxist leftists. My grandfather, his father, was an organizer in the Communist Labor Party. So he grew up in an environment of political activism, left-leaning political activism. And as an extension of what used to be called the labor movement in this country, which began in the 1920s and by the time you got to the 1950s was actually kind of almost starting to decline a little bit. So through my grandfather, my father met famous leftists like Paul Robeson and others, Irving Horowitz, who was known for coining the phrase third world, as in third world country. And these are the people that he was exposed to as a teenager, and they had a strong influence on him. Eventually, he and his father had a falling out because he felt his father had sold out all of those Marxist principles. When he married a much younger woman, bought a house in a very bourgeois neighborhood in Long Island with a pool, and wanted to put his new son that he had with this younger wife into a private school. And he asked the Communist Labor Party to double his salary. Of course, they said no way, and he quit, and he bought a restaurant. So he became this extremely bourgeois person, and my father was grossly offended by this, felt he had betrayed everything that he had taught him to believe in, and so they never spoke again. And then after that, my grandfather died before my father and he ever had a chance to reconcile. I think this played an enormous role on his psyche. And then my father tried to have a very normal bourgeois life as well. He married, my mother was a provincial woman, born in the Bronx, came from immigrant family, but studied art in school, got an education degree. And then she met my father, and she was all ready to just, you know, settle down, become a good housewife, very 50s model of what a woman should be, 1950s model, and have a child. And they moved into a very nice building, you know, with a doorman. And my father actually developed this kind of bourgeois life as well, maybe perhaps trying to emulate what his father was doing. But after a while, the pressures of supporting a family started to get to him. And then something occurred that was unique to his time, but it's relevant to the broader question as well, because it is now, that set of circumstances is now repeating itself in today's society. You had the New Left movement. The New Left movement were people who were mostly children children whose parents were in the Communist Labor Movement and other things, and they developed their own version of Marxism. And those people ended up eventually by the mid-60s turning into civil rights demonstrators and then morphing into SDS, Students for a Democratic Society, which eventually became the Weathermen and also branched out into the Yippies, the Black Panthers, SNCC, and all of the groups that ended up becoming known as the New Left in this country. And all of these groups became a threat to the FBI. They all became targets of the FBI for infiltration and disruption. So amidst this growing counterculture, there was my father, right, coming from a Marxist background, yet having embraced all the bourgeois accoutrements of a middle-class life, a professional middle-class life, and now this movement is evolving that is seducing him. And so between the pressures of trying to raise a family, which, you know, there are pressures, and the seduction of a new left movement that was not like his father's old movement where people just said, old men sat around and intellectualized. This was about action. There were many women involved in this movement. It wasn't a man's movement. There were women, and the morality was much more relaxed at that time, and they were preaching much more relaxed morality. I believe my father just became seduced by this culture and lifestyle, coupled with his ideology that he was raised with. And this is what got him to, and many people, to accept the idea that, yeah, you know, marriage is state control. It's all just a way of controlling us, manipulating us. Meanwhile, you know, this is the way of the future. And so he got involved with the new left. And then from there, being a very angry man to begin with because of the circumstances of his life, he discovered that this culture embraced anger at the establishment, even to the point of violence. And so if I had to boil down the reason why my father turned and the reason why we're seeing, people in today's culture looting stores, it boils down to one word, Alex. It boils down to one word, in my opinion, and that is the word permission. They were given permission. These are angry people. They're angry at a lot of things, mostly personal things, and then they now find themselves in a social environment that is accepting of this anger, where it's cool to be upset with your parents, cool to be angry at your government, and it's cool to do something about it. In fact, it's uncool to not do something about it.
John, Josh, if I can just interrupt you for a second. So what you're saying is that the anger isn't necessarily specifically directed at what people think it's directed, but the anger comes from, I would have to use the word, potential failure in their own lives. Is that correct?
I say that there's a lot of truth to what you just said. Now, I'd like to add that I interviewed many radicals for my book, people who were involved with my father, people involved with the Weathermen, Weather Underground, SNCC, most of these new left groups. I interviewed many, many, many people. And I think I can say with pretty good certainty that not a single one of them that I interviewed would agree with what you just said. Every one of them would think, no, we were justified. We were involved in an illegal war in Vietnam. And our guy Nixon was corrupt. We had to get rid of Nixon. That's why we did all this. And I asked every one of them, why bomb built it?
Joshua, we're going to take a real quick break for the top of the hour news. Going to be right back. I'm going to continue this subject right back, sir.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Back with Joshua Melville right now. Josh, could you please repeat what you said at the end of the prior segment about anger?
Sure. Sure. Well, you said that you feel that the anger that the radicals had was a product of their own failures in life. And what I was responding with was I interviewed many, many radicals, and I asked every one of them, why bomb buildings? Why do all this anger stuff? Why not just protest? You know, protesting is how we generally resolve things in this country. That's the democratic process. And they all felt the same way. They all had the same answer. They all would have disagreed that it was personal anger that had to do with them personally. All of them would have externalized and said, no, this was because Nixon was corrupt. We had to get rid of Nixon, and America was involved in an illegal war. And that never resonated with me because all wars end. And most of these bombings that took place in 1969 and 1970. This was when Nixon had 3 years left on his second term. And so sometimes I would push back and say, wait a second, you bombed buildings, you sacrificed your life and liberty and potentially injuring others, get rid of a president that would be out of office anyway in the next 3 years.
And what answer did you get, John? What answer did you get?
They kind of just looked at me like as if I didn't get it. And maybe I don't, you know, but I didn't get it. And what I was starting to realize was in my viewpoint, a lot of their actions were, as you said, results of their own personal agendas. Their war against the state was a personal war. They may have externalized it and come up with rationalizations like Nixon was corrupt, America was involved in an illegal war. They may have come up with all of these rationalizations, but each of them, in my view, would have found some other thing to be upset and angry about were those circumstances not in place. And I think history now proves that I'm right, because what we're experiencing right now over the last year with, you know, so-called peaceful protests in Wisconsin and Seattle and other cities, we're not in an illegal war now. So what's the excuse now to loot stores? And of course, they have one. You know, they always have one. No one ever just wakes up and says, no, I'm just an angry, you know, asshole. Excuse me, I don't know if I can use that word. And yeah, I'm just going to go loot stores because I want a TV, because I'm just pissed off at my parents, because I'm upset because I have so much student debt and I'm overeducated and can't get a decent job. No one wakes up and says, I'm going to destroy society because of that. They have to find some other socially acceptable reason to do it. In the 60s, it was Nixon in Vietnam. Now it's, you know, Trump and...
Right. Josh, let me go back and ask you another question that I think is very, very relevant here. What's your opinion about some type of, perhaps, conspiracy or organization behind this movement right now, the movement of violence that's going on in society today? Got an opinion on that?
I do, and I don't think I wouldn't use the word conspiracy because that automatically conjures up, you know, notions of people being overly paranoid. It is not a conspiracy. It is a fact that all of these organizations, including the ones in the 60s, right up to the ones today, pay professional organizers and instigators to gather crowds and motivate them to protest. In fact, many times if you were in a major city, if you were to walk past the picket line for a restaurant, for example, restaurant union striking because they don't like the restaurant's policy or something like that, most of those protesters are paid. They're paid protesters. And I know this because I had friends who did it. I know this because I was offered the opportunity to do it. It's a job. They get paid a decent amount of money, $25, $30 an hour to work a protest line. Most of these same people, if they decide to make a career out of it, will end up moving into organizing protests, rallies, and, of course, ultimately, insurrections.
Josh, who's paying them?
Coupled with this, well, that's a good question. That I don't know the answer to. But clearly, I know somebody is.
Okay.
You have to follow the money to get that answer. I mean, I could serve up the, you know, the answer that you hear being served up on Fox News all the time, George Soros, but I don't know that for a fact. That's just
right.
Something I hear.
Right. Good point. Thank you. Continue, Josh. Thank you.
Sure. So it's not a conspiracy theory. It's a business. And whatever the agenda is behind these protests, the agenda is being served by having professionals who organize and rally. And some have more talent than others. And, of course, the more talented ones get paid more. Now, that doesn't mean that these people aren't true believers. Don't get me wrong. It's not like I'm saying they hire in salespeople, you know, or ex-Wall Street brokers, you know, to rally people in the streets. The people who they hire are motivated ideologically as well, not just by money. But not all of them. Some people are just very good at what they do. So you have a movement that is being financed by unseen forces that are difficult to trace. I'm sure if someone decided to audit BLM, which is the only organization that we can identify that's an actual incorporated entity as opposed to Antifa, which is just a loose affiliation. I'm sure if you manage to audit BLM, you'd probably find that they're being financed, you know, by someone who has an agenda behind what's happening, behind disruption.
That's absolutely a fascinating statement, Joshua. That's what was happening when your dad was in the business, so to speak. And I believe that's true. I believe that. Okay, a little different. Well, how's it different?
Well, because it's much more organized now. It's much more corporatized now. Back then, the people who were financing protests were not necessarily, a covert cabal of anarchists. They were, most of the people who were involved came from privilege. So most of the people in the Weather Underground came from privilege. The famous townhouse in downtown New York that was blown up when Weatherman blew themselves up when they were making bombs. This was in 1970, I believe. The townhouse, one of the weathermen who lived in that townhouse, her father owned the townhouse. He was wealthy. So the people back then came from money, and a lot of the financing for the New Left came from people who were actually in the New Left who were true believers. Today, I'm not sure that same truth exists. Today, I do think you have people who are bad actors within those organizations who aren't necessarily true believers, who are in it for the agenda or in it for the money. So that's the difference.
Why would somebody be in it for the agenda, Josh?
They're Marxists.
Okay. That's a pretty simple
answer.
That's a very simple answer and probably very accurate. Go ahead and expound on that one.
Well, they believe Marxist philosophy, and like my father did. My father was a big Marxist. They believe that the end justifies the means. They believe in revolution. They believe that imperialism and capitalism is always bad. There's really very little nuance in their philosophy. And I've had discussions with many, you know, short Marxists. So the people that I spoke with who were radicals in my father's cell and other New Left groups, when I interviewed them, they were in well into their 40s. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, ironically,
a lot of them had kind of transitioned into more bourgeois lifestyles. Some of them admitted, yes, you know, I would have been called a reactionary by someone in their 20s, you know, back in 1969. Now they, you know, lived in townhouses and drove BMWs and sent their kids to private school. So I found that particularly ironic. But it helped me understand why they all felt my father was a hero. Because my father did not come from that. My father came from North Taiwan, upstate New York. He came from, I guess, what some people would call white trash. And he went into the movement without the safety net that a lot of his compadres went into the movement with. His comrades and friends, people that he conspired with, they all came from some privilege, and their families could afford to hire decent lawyers and get them off charges. My father had just that privilege.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to make you an offer right now that I don't think you can refuse. Just call me Vito Carolone. Here's the offer. Any questions that you have, I think Joshua Melville has brought up some very, very prudent points. And what I would like to say is this. If you have any questions at all for Josh regarding anything that he has said, regarding anything that I have said, I'd like you to file those questions on the blog. I personally will call Joshua up, get him back on the show, and all of those questions will be answered. The only thing I would like you to do is please identify where you're coming from. Don't need a real name. All I need to know is, did you get this information from the radio show? Joshua, thank you so much, Mr. Melville. Appreciate it.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.